Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Dawn B., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today is Tuesday, January 13th, 2026, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we're on page 12, that sixth paragraph, The Real Significance of My Experience in the Cathedral, through one paragraph ending, How Blind I Had Been. And we'll be commenting on this one paragraph today. Today's readers, 12 Steps, Kate F., 12 Traditions, Mary P. Readers of the text, Margaret D., Alex K., and Penny L.C. The reference number for Monday, January 12th, 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 23,119. That's 23119. And for this morning, Tuesday, January 13th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, the reference number is 23,121. That's 23121. Our newcomer greeter this morning is Sherry M., and Shelley E. will do the announcements. Thank you to everyone providing service for this meeting. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on our outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. And I'll now ask Kate F. to please read the 12 steps of OA. Good morning, Kate.
Good morning, Dawn. Good morning, everyone. This is Kate F., recovered in Washington State. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God and to ourselves and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry the message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. I pass.
Thank you so much, Kate F. And I'll now ask Mary P. to please read the 12 traditions of OA.
Thanks, Dawn. This is Mary P. in Texas, and these are the 12 traditions. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks for letting me be of service this morning, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Mary P. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book, and we're on page 12, the sixth paragraph, The Real Significance of My Experience in the Cathedral, through one paragraph ending, How Blind I Had Been. And we'll be commenting on this one paragraph today. And I'll now ask Margaret D. to please read and then share with us. Good morning, Margaret. Star 1, Margaret. Okay. Perhaps Margaret's having some technical difficulties. Can you, Penny LC, would you be able to read and then share with us? Am I being heard?
Yes, I can help. Yes. This is okay. Penny LC, Grateful Recovery Compulsive Overeater.
Go ahead, Penny.
Washington.
Thank you, Penny. John.
The real significance of my experience in the cathedral burst upon me. For a brief moment, I needed and wanted God. There had been a humble willingness to have him with me, and he came. But soon the sense of his presence had been blotted out by worldly clamors, mostly those within myself, and so it had been ever since. How blind I had been. When I read this paragraph, I absolutely relate in. I can remember as young back as a young child, far back as when I was a young child, and wanting to have a connection with God. I was not raised with religion. And yet I had a desire to, and I can remember myself sitting on the living room floor watching the Sunday show that was a gal sketching out some stories and about God. And I just really connected with it. And I remember then as a teen, you know, attending a group for the summer that was spiritually based and also wanting that connection and yet feeling separate from it because I didn't really know it. I remember accepting what I thought was the higher power of my understanding as a young adult. And yet when I it wasn't tested and it wasn't really leaned upon until I got cancer. And then I got close to the higher power. But as soon as I was out of the woods, so to speak, and my cancer was behind me, I took my will back. And it took years later for this disease to finally bring me to my knees, get my full attention. And I believe our higher powers will, you know, be patient and loving and stand by until we are truly ready to fully surrender. And in the meantime, life does get in the way. Life does push out that desire for a higher at times, or at least it did for me. And I'm so grateful that I am a compulsive overeater and so grateful to have this disease. Because of it, I have a new higher power of my own understanding, one that I feel extremely connected to, and one that has changed who I am and how I operate in life. And it's just been an amazing journey. And with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Penny LC. What a wonderful way to get us started. And I'm now going to take the names of people who would like to share in this paragraph. Although we do value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share? We're talking about page 12, that sixth paragraph that starts with the real significance of my experience in the cathedral through one paragraph ending how blind I had been. So who would like
Alex,
to share with us?
Alex.
Georgia.
Alex K. Freya H.
Margaret D. Georgia.
Margaret D.
Bruce E. Florida.
Bruce E. Okay, I have Alex K., Freya H., Margaret D., Bruce E. Who else?
Julie P.
Julie P. Fantastic. Well, we have a beautiful lineup. Alex K., Freya H., Margaret D., Bruce E., and Julie P. Alex K., please go ahead and get us started.
Thank you, Dawn. Thank you, everyone, for being here. I'm Alex K., compulsive eater in California, given a reprieve for today. Even though I didn't believe in a higher power for much of my life, I think I've always had one, but the channel to my higher power was blocked. It was so clogged up with a self-will and defects, prejudice, and food that I couldn't see anything else. Those things blinded my vision. I was so in myself and my head that I was oblivious to my defects that are so glaringly obvious to me now. I couldn't see my part in anything. I blamed my discontent on other people and situations, thinking if only they were different, then I would be okay. I had no self-awareness. I wasn't capable of seeing that my thinking and behavior was harmful and to me and others. I never thought about how my actions and words affected others. I only thought of myself and of getting what I wanted and needed. And I don't say this with criticism. I say it with compassion because I know I was doing the best I could with the limited tools I had at the time. And now I know that I'm the problem, me and my thinking. That's what needs to change for me to recover. And that's the good news, because I'm the only one I can change. And only with a lot of help can that happen. And it is happening. It's an inside job. not about anyone or anything else changing. I need a psychic change. My whole way of thinking needs to change. And when my thinking changes, everything changes. And that comes about with the steps in my higher power. It's a miracle. I probably wouldn't have believed was possible if I hadn't experienced it myself. and freedom from food obsession and compulsion and peace with food is just part of the miracle. I also have more peace with myself and in my relationships and with everything in life. My thinking is so dramatically different. It's as if I'm developing new neural pathways, healthier attitudes. As my will becomes more aligned with my higher power's will, I'm able to show up differently. Sometimes I feel as if I can feel my thinking changing in the moment as I'm able to make a better choice, and that's my higher power. I'm beyond grateful for this life-changing process. Thanks for being part of the miracle with me. Pass.
Thank you so much, Alex K. Freya H., it's your turn to share, followed by Margaret D.
Good morning, this is Freya H., really grateful recovered compulsive eater, bulimic restrictor in Colorado. Thank you for the opening shares. I don't know what I want to share. I just love this paragraph. I love the way that Bill describes his own experience because he's demonstrated to us that this is not easy stuff. You know, if we struggle with this whole concept of a higher power, he spends at least two pages, you know, talking about all of his prejudices and his hang-ups and his struggle. And then he describes this shift in perspective right here. And the part that really resonates with me is the sense of his presence has been blotted out by worldly clamors, mostly those within myself. Like, oh, so that's why I wasn't feeling God's presence. What were those worldly clamors? Self-obsession, this idea that I had to run the show and I was just too busy to get quiet and actually listen or consider something else, and fear that I need to do everything myself, you know, just this delusion that self-reliance is the way that I'm going to stay safe in the world and that's how I have to operate. When I'm so fixated on that, I don't have space or time to, you know, to get quiet or even entertain the notion. It's like I'm just so busy trying to keep myself safe and get my needs met. And so this is just so simple and beautiful. And another passage is coming to mind where it talks about, you know, if what we have seen and felt and experienced, it means that this loving God is accessible to all of us, you know, when we want it, when we're open to it. So just if I'm not feeling God at the moment, just keep on going and trust that trust this process of letting God be revealed to me the same way that Bill describes it being revealed to him. And obviously, you know, there's a huge variety of the ways that it happens, but if I'm open to seeing God, then I'm going to start recognizing God in everything. So really grateful that I get to be working these steps and being on the path with all of you, and I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Freya H. from Colorado. Margaret D., it's your turn, followed by Bruce E.
Hey, everybody. Good morning. This is Margaret D., and I'm in Georgia, and I'm very grateful to be a recovered and a recovering compulsive eater. What this paragraph brings up for me in retrospect is where Bill talks about the true significance of what happened when he was in the Winchester Cathedral. I was listening to the special edition Sunday, and the speaker talked about the four character or chief character defects, which basically is our disease, the resentments, the selfishness, the self-centeredness, and I don't remember what the fourth one was, But something in his share prompted me to look back at where I had been practicing these particular character defects ever since I was 2 years old, which was fine when I was 2 years old because a two-year-old is expected to be selfish, self-centered, dishonest, and afraid. I mean, that's the whole nature of growing up. But the significance is that as I got older, I felt that I was justified in being resentful and justified in being dishonest and justified in being selfish and self-centered. And through believing that spiritual fallacy, all kinds of things happened, which didn't necessarily need to happen. But at that point, at 2 years old, I got out of the picture and felt justified in doing it. And that was my disease. That was the disease that said, see, Margaret, God's not here for you. You don't need God. I mean, I had all these things going on in my head. And what I've come to realize from looking back and working all the steps, especially 10, 11, and 12 on a daily basis, is where I justify those ideas, you know, of being, of course, I'm allowed to be selfish, self-centered, or I argue for my character defects is what I'm trying to say. And so I went back and I started to look at when did I very first start to argue for that character defect. And that was probably about 2 years old. And that's when I kicked God out and said, I don't need you. I can do this myself. Well, the bottom line is I don't have to understand God. And I'll cut it with this last thought. I don't have to understand God. I don't have to. The only thing that I have to do, really have to do, is to know that I need God. And then everything else is in God's hands. I just need to stop pushing God away through the character defects. And with that, I pass. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Margaret D. Bruce E., it's your turn, followed by Julie P.
Hello, I'm Bruce E., and thank you. I'm a recovering food addict in Southwest Florida. Man, am I eager to talk on this one and listen to what people have to say about it. There's a real significance of the experience. You notice he had an experience there at the cathedral. Excuse me. And when I go back and look at that, the experience was that he was much moved. Two words, much moved. So that was the experience at the cathedral. And that's tremendous. You know, and I've had a number of experiences in my childhood also, like I heard others talk about. That's my puppy in the background there. Yeah, I've had a number, little golden doodle, I love that. So I've had, you know, a number of people talk about having experiences when they were children. And I remember back when my mother, you know, I don't think she dragged me to the Lutheran church, but she expected me to go with her, and I went. And same with my brother and my dad. They didn't want to go either, but they were expected to go, and they went. And I felt different afterwards when I got out of there or during that. But then, you know, at 10, 11, 12, 13, I want to ride my bike, be with my buddies, go fishing, you know, all that kind of stuff. So the worldly clamors blotted out that spiritual experience. And I don't remember having any spiritual experience from there all the way until I was like 38 years old. And then I had some spiritual experiences and some other experiences. And man, it was tremendous. You know, and now, you know, I'm trying to live on a more spiritual plane than before. I'm trying not to let the world of clamors blot it all out, but man, it tries to, you know, all the stuff, you know, going on, you know, about money and finances, house and cars and kids and all this, you know. This starts to blot it out, fear, resentment, anger, and that all blots it out, ego, it all blots it out, you know. But I'm trying to keep going back instead of like when I was a child, it blotted out and it was gone. Now I'm trying to continually go back and get it back. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you so much, Bruce E. from Florida. Just a quick reminder, we're talking about page 12 today, the sixth paragraph, The Real Significance of My Experience in the Cathedral, through one paragraph ending, How Blind I Had Been. And we're commenting on this one paragraph today. So it's Julie P's turn to share, and after Julie, I'll be taking a list of more names. Go ahead, Julie, please share with us.
Good morning. My name is Julie P. I am a food addict from the state of Minnesota, currently wintering in Texas. Thank you, everybody, for your service this morning. I am eternally grateful to be in a meeting of Overeaters Anonymous because this is my medicine. I need you all, and I need my higher power, and I'm looking at this paragraph going, there had been a humble willingness to have him with me. And he came. You know, I so identify with that sentence right there because I remember when I first came into this program, listening, learning first about the disease, and secondly, learning from all of you sharing your experience, strength, and hope that the solution is a power greater than me. And I remember the first time that I actually became willing to go down on my knees and lift my hands up. I wasn't quite sure what I was lifting my hands up for because I had not yet built a relationship with my higher power. But I remember that experience, that willingness, that humbleness, like, oh my gosh, I just can't do this anymore. And that's what the gift of desperation did for me, is it gave me that humble willingness because no other methods worked. And it's like, okay, well, if it works for others, maybe it can do the same for me. And I think about where it put me on the pink cloud, but I learned since that I have to continue to invite my higher power in every single day, because if I don't, I will blot him out by him, her, whatever. I will blot my higher power out by the worldly clamors, mostly those within myself, that I identify as the mental twist of my mind. I had no clue how deep the mental twist went. And I am so grateful today that I am still learning how deep it is and that I need to invite my higher power in to manage my life every day. And I'm so grateful for all of you and wishing you a wonderful day. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Julie P. from Minnesota, now in Texas, wintering in Texas. All right. Well, we do value your experience, but we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share with us on this paragraph?
Margo.
Margo? Is that Margo P?
B.
Margo B?
From New York. Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Sherry M.
P.
Sherry M. And who is that
Robin
other name?
P.
Robin P.
Robin T.
Kate.
Like Tom.
Robin T. Thank you so much.
Kate F.
Kate F. Okay. Anyone else? All right. I have Margot B., Sherry M., Robin T., and Kate F. Margot B., please go ahead and share with us. Your 3 minutes start now.
Hi, Margot here, compulsive overeater in New York. I'm so grateful for everybody's comments and the lead. What came to me was, okay, the world is just getting my way. It was so funny when I had that moment. I was like, okay, the world that coming from the outside, mostly from the inside, that concept of self-imposed crisis, you know, everything needs to be done yesterday, that self-reliance, it's got to be me. And I was like, wait a minute, like, okay, the world is getting in the way of my relationship with God. That's basically what I said to myself in prayer. And I said, take it all, put it at his feet, surrender it, and let all that clamoring and all that committing and all that distortions, delusions, whatever it is that's going on in the outside world, and bring it to God. And I just had this moment of like, I have so many levels of surrender to work through. And sometimes, right, I am. And I have that, like, there's nowhere else to go type of thing. And then there's just layers, or it's the same thing in a different form. But no matter what, it just seemed to be, go to God, go to God. Like, there's the world. There's all that stuff that's going on. Go to God. Just go to God. I had a sponsor who used to say that to me all the time. And I'm like, sure, sure. I had no idea what it meant. Learning the depth and the breadth and the spiritual weight of what that truly means. And when I even say body decompresses, so that I don't go out searching for people, place, and thing, the food, the little extra this, the little extra that, to make me feel better. You know, this is all about me having intimate relationship with the God of my understanding. And that means it's personal, it's real, sustainable. And I forget in a snap of a finger, but that's okay. I got the tools to remind me and bring it back to God. So thank you so, so much, everyone.
Thank you, Margot B. from New York. All right. It is now time for Sherry M. to share, followed by Robin T. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning. Hi, Dawn. Thank you so much for leading. This is Sherry M., gratefully recovered in Wyoming. And this paragraph and hearing everyone shares, this has really opened my heart. And I was thinking, you know, for anyone new that's listening, you know, we're at the part of Bill's story where he's realizing that, you know, he did not have the power to stop his disease. On his own power, he was going to die. So I have written in the margin on this page, like, all I need to know is that I have to have a power that's greater than me that can help me. I don't have the power. And so when we get to step one and we hit a bottom, we have to believe, right? And so but I didn't want to. And so I avoided the 12-step programs for a very, very long time because I didn't like the G word. And I realize now that a lot of my prejudice that I had about religion or God or everything else had to do with my upbringing and my surroundings and voices that I heard growing up. And so when I really stopped to say, like, am I willing to believe there's a power that can stop me from killing myself with food? Yes. Okay, well, then let's go through and see what kind of a higher, you know, what kind of God or higher power have I created? Oh, that's not even my voice, the one that I had, this punishing one, and also one that was punitive, right? And so when you have parents like me who were abusive, I became afraid of turning my life. If I turned my life over to my parents, then I would be turning my life over to people who were twisted mentally, spiritually sick, abusive. They were abused. They were had mental illness. And how can I trust in something like that? So I became very self-sufficient at age 7 and a latchkey kid and took care of myself. And so for me, it's more about the trust part, not that I need a power and it has to be something bigger than me. And, you know, by just seeing and admitting how blind I have been, you know, I was listening to a podcast on vision the other day that my sponsor has me going through, and it was talking about how we can only see through the keyhole, you know, and this is almost like being blind, you know, looking in every day thinking I know what's going to happen in life through a keyhole. You know, I'm blind to everything that's on the left side in the room, the right side, up, down, all of it. I am blind. God knows what's best for me. God has always been there. If I just take a deep breath and say, open arms, please, I trust you today, because any life you could provide for me, God, today would be way better than anything I could come up with, because I just wanted to commit suicide and die, you know, and live an isolated life. And now I can go anywhere, do anything, and try to spread the word that there is a miracle here. And I didn't make the miracle happen, nor do I on a daily basis. It's a opening of the heart to God and saying, I trust you today, and talking to God. Like, it's hard for me to trust you, God, but I'm going to anyway. I'm going to see what happens when I do, and miracles happen. Thank you so much for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Sherry M. from Wyoming. Robin P., it's your turn to share, followed by Kate F.
Good morning, Dawn. Can you hear me?
I sure can.
Thank you. Kept muting and unmuting. I wasn't sure. So I'm Robin T., like, terrific, in Cambridge, Massachusetts, recovered one day at a time. This paragraph is amazing because, you know, we can experience, I have experienced feelings, spiritual feelings of aha, like aha moment. I understand God. I understand what's going on here. I'm having an experience. But it's short-lived when it comes to my disease, compulsive overeating. I realized recently that consciousness of God throughout the day is not enough. Am I willing to interact with God and take some time and be quiet and be honest? And if I'm feeling fear, tell my higher power, I'm feeling fearful right now, especially if I find like I'm in a reactive mode, and admitting that I'm afraid of something, maybe to my husband, well, that's fine. And I know that God is there. But how about an interaction, a conversation, a two-way prayer, an inventory? And I am so grateful for these meetings and what I hear and how I can listen to how others do it. Because I didn't have any training in this. And sometimes just to hear how another person does this, I'll give it a shot. And it'll resonate with me and it'll work. And then I want to go deeper. So I listen to how another person might do it. And that's the miracle of the fellowship we have together. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Robin T. from Massachusetts. Kate F., it's your turn to share, and then I'll take a couple more names.
Thank you, Dawn. This is Kate F., recovered compulsive eater in Washington State. How blind I had been. I just think that Bill received the gift of sight in this paragraph. For myself, lately, I've just been experiencing this. When I think of my connection with God as ebbing and flowing, and lately there's just been this ebb, it seems. And so when I'm reading how blind I am. It's another word, another phrase for saying, it's been right in front of me all this time, and yet I've let so much get in the way. And part of the clamor is my internal entanglement of even me deciding how I think God will talk to me or interact with me or through others. I've already decided that, and therefore I'm not seeing it. So today when I read On Awakening, I just kind of added into the phrases, as I consider my plans for the day, may I also open my mind with this humble willingness to be open for delightful surprises of the many ways God's manifestations come to fruition, no matter who I'm going to meet, what I'm going to be doing. And in this very moment, just listening and sharing with you all is such a gift of sight for me. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Kate F. from Washington State. Well, we're sharing about page 12 today, the sixth paragraph, the real significance of my experience in the cathedral, through one paragraph ending, how blind I had been. So if we do value your experience, but we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share with us on this paragraph? I'll take about three names. Press
Julie
star
one. S. in Brooklyn, New York.
Julie S. in Brooklyn, New York. Who else would like to share?
Jen A., Colorado.
Jen A., Colorado.
Avi V., Canada, Vancouver.
Barbara
Avi
K.,
v.,
Georgia.
Canada. Okay. All right, hold on right there. Thank you so much. I have Julie S., Jen A., and Javi from California, and the others, thank you so much for your enthusiasm, but I don't believe we're going to have time. So please come back tomorrow, because we would love to hear you share. So Julie S., please go ahead, share, followed by Jen A.
Good morning, OA family, and thank you so much, Don B., for your service and everyone who makes this call possible. I'm Julie S., a recovered compulsive overeater and sugar addict in Brooklyn, New York, and not often on this 10 o'clock call, usually 7, so this is really a special treat for me. I just find this entire page so incredible because he really takes us through all the stuff, and when we finally get to the paragraph that we're on today, what struck for me was the sense of his presence had been blotted out by worldly clamors, mostly those within myself. And I just really identified with that because it's inside my mind. Someone mentioned earlier an inside job that the work of recovery is, but it's mostly those within myself, these clamors, these vestiges of old prejudices, these attachments to substances that blot out the sunlight of the spirit. And I am so incredibly grateful for the program that not only in this portion of step three that we're reading, we can know that there is a solution, but there's actually a guide path that all we need to know that to get to the solution, we just have to be willing. And the foundation of that willingness is to know that there is a power greater than ourselves who can finally take away the dragon that I could not slay, which was food. So I am also moved to say that this reminds me of the importance of steps 10, 11, and 12 on a daily basis. And that's what I have to share today. And I appreciate the opportunity to share. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you so much, Julie S. from New York. Jen A., it's your turn to share, followed by Javi.
Good morning. This is Jen A., recovered compulsive overeater from Colorado, and just grateful to be with you all this morning and reading this paragraph and really diving into it. I love what's already been shared about today. You know, being recovered,
as a result of doing this work and doing the 12 steps and now living in the 12 steps today, I'm constantly reminded that there are worldly clamors all around me that still, come into my life. People, places, and institutions are that loud commotion that just attacks me. And it attacks me differently than it attacks a normal person, right? I can't process what's going on in my life with job, with finances, with the world, with people, the way my sister can, or my dad can, or my boyfriend can. Like, I don't have a way to do it. But I do now, because I do have this 12-step way of life and these steps. And I love here is that he got what someone said, the gift of sight, right? From being totally blind to this power greater than himself, he then became aware. And for me, that's what I am so grateful for. And the continual awareness and awakening of my spirit as I keep diving in deeper and deeper to this work and doing the 10 steps, 1 through 7, 8 and 9, if I've harmed anybody, like, this is me on a daily basis. I have got to keep looking at me. What's in me that's blocking me off from the power that's greater than myself? And I love how he becomes aware here, and then he's going to uncover, discover, and discard all the things about himself and this world that have been blocking him off from the sunlight of the spirit. And today, you know, in my journey with God, we're doing a 21-day fast at church. And he says, for those of you who can't let go of food 100%, which is me, I still have to eat, off my food plan. He says, what are you going to avoid and give up that is constantly in your mind and in your path that's detouring you from God? And how perfect is that, that this aligns with that today? Am I going to quit doom scrolling or shopping on Amazon? Or because you put the food down, and to be honest, like, things still get loud and I can still pick up other things, right? Just the food isn't calling me. The exercise in the gym isn't calling me anymore, right? But I'm still being called by other things. And so for me, I just have to ask myself, what are those things that are calling to you? And thank you, by the grace of God, because I am not filling my body with pills, potions, and foods that are allergic. I have that awareness. That is the awareness that comes from God. And that's what Bill's getting here. And that's what I have today. And I'm so grateful for it. I don't want it to go away. So I'll continue to embark on this journey and do it with you all. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Jen A. from Colorado. And Javi, I'm so sorry, but we are out of time. So please do come back tomorrow, because we really would like to hear what you would like to share. And we're now going to close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Alex K. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only. Keep you until then. Star one, Alex.
Page 164. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.